With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Nikki Tsukinoko. Pandora Rose is not able to host today, so I am doing it for her. And today we have a very special treat. We will be doing another customizer interview, and I am about to call that person right now. Let's see if I can get a hold of her. I'm just going to try to call. Here. All right, let's see. Now that is our guest call-in number. Let me try this again. For those of you who can't see, there's a lot of technical stuff going on. Let's see if this worked.
Hello?
Hello, is this Tammy Street?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Hi, this is Nikki Tsukinoko with My Little Pony Talk.
Hi.
Hi. Pandora told me that we were interviewing you today.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to do this.
Let's hear that one more time. Needless to say, I get all sorts of little buttons that I love to press. Tammy, tell us, who might our listeners know you as on DeviantArt or on any of the pony forums?
Well, on the arena, I'm known as Ponies Yeah, and everywhere else on the net, I am Tamisery.
And so I'm sure many of our listeners know your name. I am a big fan of your work myself. One of my favorite pieces that you've ever done was the Black Dahlia.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, I have that saved in my favorites on DeviantArt. I go back and look at it quite a bit. It is just so masterfully done.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, so it is a big honor to have you here. And aside from custom ponies, you do other art as well, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Primarily, I would consider myself an illustrator, though recently, in the last couple years, I've been getting more and more interested in painting, and I would love to become a gallery artist, but I'm not sure, you know, how that'll ever pan out.
As someone who has seen your work, I'm sure you could do it. Come to Portland. We're great for stuff like that.
We do watch Portlandia, so I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, Portlandia is, it's funny, even to those of us who live here, Portlandia. Only because we do know people who put birds on things and call it art, and
yeah,
we know people who are making jewelry now.
Absolutely. It's one of those things where you can try to make fun of it, but the more you try to make fun of it, the more you're actually just telling the truth.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know if you've ever seen that picture that goes around on the internet sometimes of Darth Vader playing bagpipes riding a unicycle.
Yes, I might have seen
Portland.
That one.
Yeah, that guy lives in Portland. He has a few other. I think he's also been a stormtrooper. Yes, I'm sure that if you set up a gallery in Portland, it would take off. Just say.
Who knows? I'm thinking about it. I'm learning about it, and we'll see what happens in the coming years.
So now, as far as doing custom ponies, I understand you don't do a lot of custom ponies anymore, but you've done several notable ones, such as the Black Dahlia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gearing up to retire one more time. Because it's just, to be honest, sadly honest, it's not quite as fun as it once was. I'm burning out on it, as it just takes me way too long to produce any single custom.
Well, that's true. A well-made custom is not something that just happens overnight. A lot of people who think about buying customs for the first time end up being very surprised how much customs cost because they don't realize how much work goes into making even the simplest custom, let alone something over the top and exquisite.
Absolutely. And it's part of the, I'd have to say it's part of the American frame of mind, too, is that we focus more on monetary value rather than quality. We go after the price rather than something that's built to last.
Yep, it's very true. It is very true. I'm a mother for the first time, and it's going to be our...
Uh-oh, I'm not hearing anything. I think I've been lost. Perhaps you can hear me, but I can't hear you, so I'm going to hang up the phone and allow you to call back.
Hey, guys, you there? Oh, no, am I the only one on the air?
Sorry about that. oh, goodness. Who do we have on right now? I just lost someone.
Well, you've got me, Summer Blades, here. You lost your interviewee.
Okay, I will call her back.
Okay. She couldn't hear you, so she said she was going to hang up and allow you to call her back.
We're back in the game?
I think so.
No?
Okay.
All right, here we all are.
Cool.
Sorry, I have the Sprint network, and I don't know what's been going on with them the last couple of weeks, but I am this close to throwing a tantrum.
Oh, no.
I swear. This close.
I hear a second voice now.
Hi, I'm Summerblade.
Yes.
The other co-host.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I'm Summerblade, the other co-host.
Oh, okay. I did not hear you before.
Yeah, I was on mute.
Yeah, she had called in while I was in the middle of talking to you, and before I could switch her over, my call dropped.
Oh.
So now if my call drops, you'll at least have Summer to talk to until I call back in again.
Okay, cool.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. So, yes, as I was saying, yes, as a new parent, coming upon my first Christmas with my child, I am now faced with the task of finding quality toys and justifying to the people I know why I'm willing to spend more on a quality toy rather than a cheap throwaway toy.
Right. Well, congratulations. And how old is your child?
She is going to be 5 months on November 5th.
Oh, man. Congratulations. I miss it so much.
Oh, thanks. It is an amazing adventure.
Yeah, I'm in a full-blown toddlerhood now. He's almost two. And it's, man, do I miss that little sack of human that would stay where I put him.
I love the toddler phase, though.
Well, it's my first time, so it's perilous and interesting and hysterical all in one.
Well, yeah. But I love watching them get into mischief and... Maybe it's a little schadenfreude on my part, but I love watching them, like, gingerly make their way towards a light socket and you have to run after them and keep them from sticking something in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything they do, they're trying to kill themselves, and it's our job to stop them.
It is. It's true. It's because they don't know what peril is yet.
No. And there, of course, there are times where I just want to duct tape my child to the wall and just, you know, sit down and watch Dr. Phil for an hour. But, you know, phones will ring and it won't be good.
Oh, gracious.
Well, and of course, then there's always that rite of passage where you turn your back for a second, and the next thing you know, they're on the phone making a phone call to the fire station, the police non-emergency number, your mother-in-law.
Yeah,
you don't know how they got the number.
My kids texted tons of people on my contacts list.
That's true. I imagine cell phones make that whole rite of passage thing even easier.
Yeah. But, you know, now that I've got a good groove on this, I'm just waiting for him to become a teen and just be a total douchebag and be like, God, Mom.
See, I'm okay with that because it's so much easier to be mad at a teenager. You never feel bad about being mad at a teenager.
Yeah, true.
You get frustrated with a little baby, you just feel like a horrible person.
Yeah. But believe me, I've got his eBay auction page all written up and ready to go the next time he ticks me off.
He's going to auction off the baby?
Yeah, why not? I mean, he's been lightly used. I mean, I can't say he's mint in box anymore because he's been removed, clearly. But I think
he's got some good ears. Boyfriend's over here already placing bids, and I'm trying to discourage him. We have.
I've been told
I
can get quite
home.
A bit for mine. She's adorable.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we made a pretty cute one too.
And you know, I'm told there are some states that still haven't outlawed the sale of children.
Really? I'm sure it's southern states.
I can neither confirm nor deny this since I've never actually been to said state, so I won't mention which ones I've heard they are, because it's probably a rumor.
We can take a guess.
It's probably a rumor. I will say it's a southern state.
Exactly.
But yes, so... what has... it been like for you as being both a mother and trying to be an artist and get work done?
Well, before I answer that, let me clarify something for myself so I know exactly how much to police myself. Is this live? Is there a bleep time? And what kind of whooping would you get if I, you know, accidentally swore a little?
It is live. We don't actually have a thing that bleeps over swears. But if you catch yourself and apologize quickly, I don't think you'll get in too much trouble.
Okay.
But we do ask that you try your very, very hardest to catch yourself.
Yes, I'll certainly be monitoring myself, but I will warn that I don't have much of a filter. But I'll try. So it's just a warning to everyone, including you guys. I'm a horrible person.
Okay. No, we all flip sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question was, motherhood and artistry.
Yes.
You know, when I was pregnant and I knew the oncoming doom to my personal time, I thought to myself, now is the time to buckle down and build the best work ethic ever and get everything done you ever wanted to. And I squandered those 9 months. Oh, did I squander it. I did nothing but sleep. It was great. But but now...
That's just me.
Especially those first 3 months and the last three, gee whiz. Best naps I ever had in my life. But now that my time is severely cut back because I work from home and so does my husband, so it's 24/7 Boogs time. And when I say Boogs, I'm referring to my son, and it's short for Booger. We just call him the Boogs. But, yeah.
I take it he's earned that nickname somehow.
He's earned a lot of nicknames. Most I can't say, but he's got a good list. But yeah, now that my work time is basically 2 to 3 hours a night, it honestly has been the best discipline I've ever had. When I had free time, I didn't really care because I had infinite time and it didn't matter. I could go look at the internet and work a little here or there. And it was never important. But now that my time is so precious, I get more done now than ever in my previous years.
That is awesome to know that it's possible.
It is possible. And partially, I say, don't be afraid. When you find out you're going to have a kid, be mindful that you are going to lose all your time. You're going to lose all your time, and you will be frustrated, and you will be angry, and maybe even a little forlorn, especially if you were really addicted to having your own time. But if you know how to really streamline your process, you can make the best of it with even 2 to 3 hours. But things
Good
will still take forever to do.
Yes. So when you first got into customizing ponies, to get us back onto the topic of ponies.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's that is My Little Pony talk is Infinite Bunny Trails. And
okay.
It is my self-appointed duty to try and get us back on the main path.
Okay, I dig you.
So what got you into customizing ponies when you first started?
Gosh, customizing probably happened a very short time after rediscovering ponies in my adulthood. You know, they were something I'd completely forgotten about and written off to the whimsies of childhood. And then thanks to the internet, I found a couple for sale. I'm like, oh, heck. I used to have them. I want them again. Mine. And then just searching around for other ponies, I ran across my very first custom, or, you know, that I saw. and I believe it was by Winged Fantasy. I think it might have been a very simple, but one of those so simple, it's elegant and beautiful customs. I think she was Rose
Theme. Oh, yeah.
And then shortly after that, I found Woozy, and that was it. I had to try.
Yeah, well, who doesn't like Woozy? I am in awe of Woozy's wings.
For serious. She was the first one I saw ever sculpt on a pony, and that's when I found Avis Epoxy Sculpts and Clays, was all thanks to her. So while Winged Fantasy brought to light the very idea of customizing a pony, it was certainly Woozy that really kicked it off for me.
Gotcha. Well, props to Woozy, because I love many of your custom ponies.
Absolutely.
And I know you've mentioned that you're planning to retire from customizing ponies again, but for the moment, what have been, in recent years, your favorite poses to use while customizing?
That's tricky because I don't know the community names for most of these poses. I know, of course, the diva pose. Everybody loves the diva pose. And that's such an animated, cute and sassy pose to use. It's just fun. But I'd have to say that it's the theme of the custom that dictates the pose for me a lot of the time. But also, in addition to the diva pose, my second favorite would be, I'm just going to describe it as the crystal lace pose or the periwinkle pose, if people can...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, head over to the Strawberry Reef. Yeah. The Strawberry Reef resource guide has been just a gem for me. I probably single-handedly give that site hundreds of hits a month.
It is definitely one of the sites in my bookmarks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can, when we're describing, like, the ponies that Hasbro has made, I can say, and this pony is in this pose, and I'm totally referencing Strawberry Reef the whole way when I do that. I do not, by any stretch of the imagination, have them memorized.
Yeah, absolutely, me either. I cannot even describe the value of that site for me.
Oh, yeah, well... Especially when you're going through to list with all the G3s, if you're listing any of them for sale, because I can't for the life of me remember any of the names of the G3 ponies.
Oh, sure, yeah. I pull it up, too, if I'm hunting for one to buy or trying to look something up. Again, it's that site I'll go to. Also, that they have the poses all classified by color. That's a godsend.
Oh, that is my favorite feature. Not going to lie.
In fact, I'm trying to find a nice light yellow one for my next commission order. Someone has ordered a Brian Froud fairy to be done.
Oh!
Yeah.
Her name isn't Sarah, is it?
Say it again?
Her name isn't Sarah, is it?
I wonder. I don't believe so. That does not sound familiar to me.
Okay, because my sister is absolutely obsessed with Brian Froud, and she just recently, even though I've been customizing ponies for years, decided that she likes custom ponies.
Huh.
So I was just wondering if my sissy boo had tracked you down.
Let me see here. And I hope she doesn't mind my saying her name. I have, no problem telling who my commissioners are. It was Assassin Kitty.
Mm.
So you will see a work in progress thread for her next.
Awesome. I love Assassin Kitty. Sweet,
she's
sweet person.
Mm-hmm.
Adore her. Not that I've been, on the boards heavily communicating with people. Totally sorry on that, guys. But at least you can hear me here on Pony Talk. So when you say you're going to retire, are you still going to be open for the random commission if it sounds interesting, or are you just swearing off ponies altogether?
I believe it will be, it's the commissions I'm retiring from. And it was a difficult decision, but I'm just way too slow, and it's not fair to the person who's paying me all this money and waiting for so long. The Marie Antoinette pony, I realized when I went back, it took me a year to finish that, and that's unforgivable to me that poor person had to wait so long. And God bless all my commissioners that they have this unfounded, this deep well of patience. But I will be retiring from commissions. If you see customs for me, it'll be of my own design.
You know, I've heard a lot of people say that because they feel the same way. It takes so long, and they don't want people to have to wait that long. It is not an uncommon thing. And I'm actually looking at Marie Antoinette, My Little Pony, and oh my gosh, the detail you put on her is, I mean, and I know you think it's not fair to your commissioner, but I have to tell you, if I had paid for a custom pony from you, and it took a year and this is what I got, I would have no problem with the fact that it took a year. I'm just saying that now. It is a true work of art. I mean, I know lots of people, you know, do customizing now, and they put their heart into it, but there are certain pieces that just truly shine, and this is one of them.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words.
Okay, for anybody who wants to look at the ponies that we're talking about, you can find Temisery's work at Temisery, that's TAMISERY.deviantart.com. And I know because I've been following her for years.
Oh, really?
Many, many years now. I joined the pony community in 2009. And I've been following you on DeviantArt, I think, at least that long.
Wow.
So.
Wow, thank you.
Well, you do work that I want to go back and look at over and over and over again. And it's great when there's an artist that, like, you can follow them on DeviantArt, and you just want to go back and look at their work over and over again.
Yeah, but in all the years that you've been watching, I have produced so little, haven't I?
But I look forward to what you produce, because when I see a new one, so gorgeous and detailed, and you can tell that, like, you know, you didn't cut corners. You didn't think, well, I'll just do this real quick and no one's going to notice. You put so much work into your work, and it shows. I mean, I don't have to, even if you told me that, even if you hadn't told me that this took a year, it would take me at least that long to even, like, I couldn't imagine doing this in that short of a time.
That short of a time.
It's because of how much detail there is. It's really, truly.
Oh, if I have any kind of OCD, it is for detail.
And that is what I love about your work. I mean, the tail on the pony. Ah. Sorry, I'm going to have a little fangirl moment. Ah, I love that tail.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is just... I just added it to my favorites.
Oh, well, then maybe I can see who you are on DA. Let's see. And I'm also on Facebook, which is upkept a little, only slightly, more thoroughly than DA. So there might even be things on there that aren't on my DA. I can't see.
Actually, I have liked your page on Facebook.
Oh, good, good.
Yes. I was just there.
Huh. Yeah, the latest image I uploaded, the more I look at it, the more I feel I'm going to have to give it another try, that I missed my mark.
Now, why do you say that?
I'm sorry?
Oh, why do you say you sort of missed your mark on it?
Well, if you, it might be easier if you guys pull it up too, but if you look at it, the more and my husband, he reaffirmed this for me, so I'm positive that I have the correct thought about this. The more we both looked at it, the more we felt that it stood stronger without the lady figure. I'm actually in the process of recropping it to make it an 8x10 print of just the unicorns, the flowers, and the mass of hair.
Okay, I might have to pull this up real quick.
Well, I will say that, like, if the lady wasn't in the picture,
mm-hmm.
it would
it
really
stands on its
look
own
like
as well.
It does, and it would really look like unicorns and flowers and water and just a whole natural movement, or perhaps wind. Like, with the lady there, it's obviously hair.
Well, yeah, that does change the narrative of the picture. Because, without the lady, then the hair is just abstract mass or a flowing mass. But the lady... I did have such a struggle with the composition, and it went through many forms, all similar, because I have such a hard time with change, that in the end, you can crop it either way, and it stands, each side will stand on its own, but put it together, and it almost feels as though the lady is an afterthought. And 9 times out of 10, if you have to ask yourself while you're making a picture or drawing a painting, if you have to ask yourself if some aspect or detail is needed, do I really need this? 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. If you have to ask, then you don't. But while I first designed it with the lady and the unicorns all as one, now I'm asking myself, is she really needed?
No, in fact, it does. I can see now how you think of the afterthought thing, because when you look at the lady, her hair is laying down and it's very stationary.
Mm.
But when you look
directly
at the unicorn, it's not particularly like upflowing. But when you look at the unicorns and the hair, all of it is very upflowing and growing and moving skyward.
Mm-hmm. While this iteration of the image is complete and I've done everything I want to do in it and said what I wanted to say with this particular design of it, in the incoming years, I will probably return to the subject and try one more time to make it more of a cohesive thought.
It is beautiful, though. I mean, it is a true work of art in its own right.
Yeah, thank you. If you guys don't mind, I have to say a huge thank you to Diana, who helped me a great deal on this image. She's also on the
MLP. We don't mind at all.
Huh?
We don't mind at all.
Because, she and I have become... very close friends, and we turn to each other a lot for artistic back and forth. And she helped me a great deal on this image, so I just want to say a big thank you to her, and I cherish her friendship and will continue to use her mercilessly.
Well, I will say I have a great amount of admiration for the feet on your lady, though.
You know, only in recent years have I finally figured out how to use the feet.
Yeah, because I have to say that I have been trying to draw somebody in a pose where they're standing up on their toes like that, mm-hmm. in a crouched position. I cannot for the life of me get those bloody feet. I can do hands like no tomorrow. Feet?
Really?
Essentially the same thing.
I'm sorry?
Amount of webbing, and I can't do it.
It's, you have to figure out the balance. You have to figure out where the, and you know what, before I even get into that and make it sound like I just pulled it out of my talks, no problem, it is a referenced pose. But in working with the picture, the reference, it taught me that you have to work out the weight, where it places on the foot, and make the angle of the foot, like the heel is pointed back slightly, because it is carrying all the weight. So it's the weight of her body down on the foot that's forcing the heel back. And then the toes, I will be prideful and say that those toes I did pull out of my talks because I could not see the toes on the photo. They were immersed in water. So the toes, when someone is crouching, you have to scrunch them up like they are grabbing onto the floor. Because they are. They are grabbing the floor for balance.
Well, it is fantastic, and I can only dream of one day drawing such wonderful feet.
Scribble. Scribble now, scribble tomorrow, scribble all the time.
That's true. That is how I got so good at hands.
Mm-hmm.
I used to
Absolutely.
Have a call center job, and I drew my own hands all the time.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'll hold a hand up and try to give it a draw. But hands are definitely one of the hardest things to draw in the human body, and it's something I still need loads of work with.
And Summer Blade had to step away from the studio for a few minutes, but she'll call back in a bit.
Ah, okay.
In case you wondered why all of a sudden it sounded unusually quiet.
I do worry that I'm allowing too much gap in, you know, while talking.
Oh, do not worry about that. We, because we're in different places when we're recording this, there is a certain degree of clumsiness when it comes to conversation. Sometimes we run over each other. Sometimes there's awkward pauses where we're trying to figure out who's about to speak. So do not worry about it. It's all part of pony talk.
Okay.
It really
and
is.
And also there appears to be just phone line lag too, right, or digital lag.
Yes, a little bit.
Okay. Sorry, I almost fell on my seat.
When I'm recording Pony Talk, I turn the sound all the way down on my computer because otherwise I can hear the echo of it all.
Right.
And, yeah, it makes me a little confused.
Well, yeah, I heard myself a couple times. I'm like, no, that's my voice. No, I can hear myself. Ugh.
Well, welcome back, Summer.
Yeah, sorry about that. My dad called. I had to take that real quick.
I hope you said, God, Dad.
Oh, it's all right. He's bringing food over for the parrots, so.
Aw.
Aw.
Yes, that's the closest thing I have to children right now are the little gray feathered ones.
How loudly do they squawk? Because I've heard a couple gray parrot screams that made my ears bleed.
Oh, yeah, they squawk. But it's strange because
people that come into my house go, aren't they noisy? Don't they bother you? And I'm like, no, I tune them out. I've had one for 15 years, and I'm sort of used to it. And the other one I'm just babysitting right now. So, you know, one squawk is like any other squawk. You just sort of get used to it. You know, it's like when a baby screams the top of its lungs.
Oh, yes. Yes, we know that.
Yes. Well, and parrots, like I have I know someone who has an African gray parrot, and it is an amazingly quiet bird for an African gray parrot. Mostly because she has the cages near a water system, a water filtration and dispensary system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the parrots have started mimicking the sounds of the water.
Oh, good Lord.
Yes.
This is great.
That's actually the kind of parrot I have, too. I have an African gray, and he used to have a fish tank next to his cage. So he gurgles just like a fish tank.
Awesome.
They pick up any and all sounds that they want to, because I still live on a hill also, and trucks would pass by my house, and they would downshift. And he makes the sound of a truck downshifting.
That is awesome.
And a myriad of other strange noises that you wouldn't think a bird could make.
Right.
Well, he meows at other birds and doesn't understand why he doesn't have friends.
Well, so you mentioned that Woozy was the person who really kicked off your pony customizing. Do you remember what the first custom pony you made was?
Unfortunately, yes. It was such a horrible decision, the base I chose. It was a So Soft Shady first generation. I had decided to deflock her because she was stained and looked like she just had street tar on her and was awful. So my very first custom involved deflocking, and it was awful. It was absolutely awful. I was a part of the trading post at the time. That was my first pony community, and it was there that I found out how to get rid of the flock with, you know, nail polish remover and acetone, and it was still just such a horrible, long, exhausting process. I remember my mom just yelling at me because she'd asked me how much I was going to charge for it, and I told her $35, and she said, $35 for all that work? Yes, Mother, sorry.
Yeah, I remember the first time I tried to deflock, too, and I think I gave up halfway through, and those ponies are still sitting in my bait box.
Oh, I got her. Oh, she was nude, and I was so happy about it, too. I slammed her on the ground. I was like, gee, you take that. You're nude now. Now I can do whatever I want to you.
So do you still have her to revel in your triumph over the deflocking process?
Oh, no, that bitch is gone. Excuse me, sorry. She's gone.
Oh. Excuse me, that was funny.
No, she sold relatively quickly, so I got rid of her quick, thankfully. But, yeah, she... If you go on the arena, go under my name and look at posts, you might find a thread where I posted a picture of her. I don't know how deep, how long ago. It might be lost to the rabbit hole of the arena. I can't even remember what I called her now.
Let's see, let me
I haven't pulled up the arena in forever.
Ha!
And Google's like, I don't remember you going to MLP Arena. What are you talking about?
It might be just too involved of a search to search right now during a show. It'd just be long, horrible pauses.
You have received one or more personal messages. Well, I should expect, considering. Okay. Okay, I remember what Okomi made for me. Okay, I'll have to get back to that one. Search. You said on the arena it's Ponies,
yeah, it's,
yeah?
Yeah, Ponies, yeah. It's the most retarded name ever. I'm fully aware. I totally couldn't think of anything. When I first signed, I was like, I like ponies. Ponies are great. Yeah.
Does it have any underscores or?
Nope. All one word.
And we'll come back to that. Look. My internet cut up. Okay. Princess of Darkness. Thank a member thread. Taking offers. Oh, someone's selling stuff.
Believe me, she's not even worth all this time in searching.
Well, someone grab her, Ponies, yeah, Marie Antoinette. I think it may be probably in the archived older arena somewhere.
It could very well be, because I can't remember if I posted it pre or post move when they switched over to a new server or something.
Yeah. I remember that. All of a sudden, I couldn't find anything anymore. It
yeah,
took me forever to pick up the messaging system again. Well, I don't see it, but I'm sure it was a triumph at the time.
It's certainly a far, far cry from... Oh, there we go. I just found it. If you go under my profile, show posts, it's like the page 7, the thread is titled From the Very First to the Very Recent, a Then and Now thread. And I think it's a thread I started. That's there you have it. But seriously, this is too much dead air for people listening.
Oh, no, no. I'm sure everybody loves to hear me struggle to figure out how to use the search function. Aside from Pony Baby, who apparently didn't like it at all.
Do you have people messaging the show at the same time, or...?
I did not actually open the chat today because
I had mentioned and linked on our Facebook that the show was about to start, and that tends to bring out the crazies for some reason. So I did not open the chat. So to discourage the crazies from attempting to say things.
Dig ya. Well, for anyone who might possibly want to search it, the name I named her Windstar, two words. No underscore, just two separate words. And it is a neon a pink, shady with white hair and I don't know, whimsical white sun with stones and whatever. And my job is done.
Okay. Let me just get to... You said it was on the seventh page?
Seventh page of my post history, yes.
Yeah. Dear God, I can't believe I paid this much money for Comcast.
You know, Comcast can eat a D, as far as I'm concerned. I cannot stand that company. We have had them up. We've had them out here several times, and our cable still doesn't work correctly. And every time they send one of their dumb subcontractors, they do the job wrong, even dangerously wrong. It's just, it's abysmal. I cannot wait till Verizon lays some cable out here. I am switching so fast.
Unfortunately, no. We don't have Verizon anymore. Now we have Frontier, and I've heard horror stories.
Ha!
I have found her. You know, she's actually really cute. I will say she's really cute.
Well, thank you.
I mean, compared to Marie Antoinette, I can totally see, like, how far you've come since, like, the first one.
Yeah, it's been a long journey. But once I found the epoxy sculpt, the whole game changed.
Oh. And your epoxy sculpt stuff is amazing.
Thank you. I do like the curls.
And you said you have an allergy to the epoxy sculpt?
If I didn't have an allergy to it, I probably would not even be considering retiring for a second time. That is the biggest problem to my time issue with customizing, is that I have a horrible skin allergy to any epoxy clay. It doesn't matter if it's Avis or Magic Sculpt. There's some component chemical in there that just makes my skin freak out.
So you work on it a little bit. Your skin breaks out, you let it go down again, and then you go back to it?
Correct. I do have barrier creams, and I have a steroid cream for when the breakouts happen. It doesn't happen nearly as much as it used to. I've gotten better with avoiding it, but it still happens. You can't avoid residues from the clays just getting all over your stuff, and you come into contact with it later. It could be weeks later. But, yeah.
That's true. I have, with any sort of crafting supply, whether it be paint, glitter, or epoxy, it seems like once it's there forever.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. There is a spot on my desk that no matter how much I clean it, I've just learned to not touch it at all.
But, you know, that just makes your work that much more impressive that you have an allergy to it, and you come out with Marie Antoinette. That is just amazing.
Well, thank you.
Well, there's something to be said for perseverance.
Yeah, perseverance,
indeed.
Just stupidity.
Well, you know, that's a little... They're both parts of each other, I guess we should say.
Right.
Well,
Oh, I hear a baby.
Oh, that would be Pony
Baby.
Aw.
She's going through a phase where if she can't see me for more than a couple of minutes, even if she can hear me and she knows that I'm there somewhere, she cries and cries.
I don't think the bugs went through that. That little jerk, yeah, I don't think he ever did that. And he was just fine.
Well, I feel bad because, I mean, there's no reason she should be crying. She's with her dad. She's with Daddy.
Yeah, Kai was just fine with either one of us. In fact, I don't know if your listeners care to hear about this, but I also don't care either, so I'm going to say it. Ha! I just weaned him not too long ago, and he's almost two. And it was surprisingly easy because I think we were both just naturally ready. But as soon as I stopped giving him the boob, he looked at me, tucked in bed, and just looked up and said, bye. He said, you're not going to give it. I have no use for you. So now Daddy tucks him in. He does not care to have me in that room anymore.
Oh, gracious. That's awful.
I know. I was kind of hurt. I was like, you're such a jerk.
Well, but I mean, at least you guys were both ready at the same time.
Yeah, it was shockingly easy. I thought it was going to be hellfire. But two nights and we were cool.
Yeah, my Melody is... She's really very... She's a very smart baby, but she's also very emotionally needy. Like, we tried to sleep train her, and that went horribly bad. She started crying in her sleep, and she stopped talking.
Wow.
She started talking to us again, like, last week. So...
Wow.
And, of course, the pediatrician was less than supportive. She's like, yeah, it takes a really strong person to sleep train a baby.
Dang.
Like, I gave birth to the baby without any drugs, okay?
Really?
I'm plenty strong.
Are you
I'm
kidding?
Just willing
I felt,
to...
I had two contractions with begging for an epidural. I was awful.
Yep, 7 hours of labor from the time the water broke.
Oh, jeez. That was
no meds. No meds.
I had to be induced, and all of a sudden, in the middle of everything, all progress stopped. I actually started to reverse, and they took me into emergency C-section, so I got out pretty easy.
Oh, yeah, they were talking about inducing me because I ended up being 10 days late by their standards.
Wow, that was a comfortable kid.
And, oh, she crowned 3 times. She did not want to come out. She did not want to come out. She's in the birth canal fighting me every step of the way.
That's so messed up. It's hysterical, I'm sorry.
Just like, no, Mom, no.
Like, you don't understand how warm it is in here, Ma.
Yeah, but what she didn't know is my body was done. It's like, nope. I automatically started pushing. I didn't have to think about it. My body just was, like, pushing. And unfortunately, she pushed back.
I'm sorry.
But I got her out eventually.
Like this.
I got her out eventually. Sure, I needed stitches and I hemorrhaged and needed a blood transfusion, but I got her out.
See, you're making me feel more like a jerk for laughing like this.
No, I laugh about it. Why shouldn't everybody else? It is funny.
Yeah, it's such a horrible event for all parties present. If you don't laugh about it, you'll never do it again.
True, but yeah, but because I, like, it took so much out of me, like, getting her out, and my recovery time took forever. Like, I may as well have had the C-section for as long as my recovery time took. She was at one point really attached to my husband because I just fed her.
Oh.
And then when she was done eating, he took her and I slept. And that's what we did for 6 weeks. But now, because he's gone back to work and I am now primary caregiver as well as primary food source.
Oh, Mama Milk.
She's gotten really attached to me. And she wants to walk, but she doesn't want to crawl. And if she can't walk, she wants to be carried.
Yeah, we're kind of slowing down on the carrying because my back can't take it anymore.
Well, my back can't really take it very well either, but, I mean, at least she's only about 15 pounds at the moment. But,
eventually she'll feel like she's made of dark matter.
A dark matter baby.
Yes. It's unbelievable, just the dead weight these things are.
Yeah, it just, she either wants to be completely independent or completely dependent.
Mm-hmm.
She's not into the middle phases at all. She hates that.
Whereas my son is absolutely refusing talking. He's almost two, and he only says about 4 or 5 words. He's just refusing. But we know he understands everything. I can tell him to go to the fridge and get something out for me, and he'll do it. We know he understands. He's just refusing to speak.
Well, you know, supposedly, I don't remember if it was Einstein or Mark Twain. It was one of the two. They were both incredibly sarcastic people with weird hair. But one of them didn't speak till he was 5. And the first words he said was, "The milk's gone bad."
Might have been
that
Twain.
That sounds like Mark Twain.
And his mother asked him, was excited and asked him why he hadn't spoken before. And supposedly his response to her was, "Well, up until now, everything was fine." It's probably Mark Twain.
Probably.
So maybe he's just brilliant and everything's fine.
That's my hope. He's got a lot to make up for. I completely intend to live vicariously all my dreams through him. So he's going to be enslaved, taught to draw, paint, and do everything I failed to do. Because if you don't have children to live your dreams through, the only other good use for them is to ensure that they take care of you in old age.
People do that in America anymore?
I don't even know.
No, I've said this before. All I ask is that you become Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I really... That's all I ask. You know, she doesn't have to invent the teleporter. You know.
It's just a little.
She doesn't have to learn quantum physics.
Just get her started on law school now,
huh? Yeah, just ensure liberty and justice for all. That's all I want. And for her to quit crying for no reason. That would be a good step in the right direction. All right, well, I should probably get back to asking you important customizer questions.
Yes, I'm sure people are annoyed.
I have never heard anybody be annoyed with our customizer interviews. Everybody seems to really enjoy them, so.
Oh, okay.
And if they are annoyed, they're listening to the wrong show. We have a standard of bunny trails to upkeep on this show.
Dig you.
So, I'd ask you how your practice has changed over time, but we did see that one then and now picture. For all those who are listening, the actual address for that is mlparena.com/index.php/topic, comma 306819.msg370858.html#, MSG370858. And no, I'm not repeating that, so I hope you all wrote that down.
I was going to say, that address again is.
So I suppose I will ask, this is our, like, I guess our big controversial question. Do you think there should be a book about pony customizing?
Now, I do not in any way understand how that could be controversial. To me, the answer seems incredibly easy. I would say yes, but I would demand that the book be so be extremely particular in its production, because there's such a huge problem with how-to books or step-by-step books or this particular do this particular thing DIY books, what have you, anything of the group. And I would demand that any customizing book have extremely thorough instructions, but more so, more than anything, pictures. Live pictures, not vector trace drawings, not funny little caricatures or comic-style drawings. I would demand actual photos with a decent macro lens, for one, decent lighting. And the only reason is for people like me, someone who has such an incredibly difficult time reading, because I am dyslexic, so reading for me is immensely difficult. My comprehension skills they're fine enough that I can get by easily. It's not an issue. It's just words move all around the page, letters continually switch. My eye will travel down the page, so I start on one sentence, and when I hit the end of it, I'm at the very bottom of the page because my eyes just drifted down trying to follow the horizontal line of the sentence. It's extremely difficult for me, so I would demand that there be many, many pictures, just so that someone could pick up the book, look at the pictures, and get an idea of what they need to do. If they can garnish at least 60% of the information they need, 70% of the information they need from the pictures alone, that is a very good book. And from there, they can go in and decide if they really need to read the page or not.
Well, you know, that is a good point, because sometimes people try to explain things and it makes sense to them, but the other person hearing it or reading it is just left going, what?
Right. You know, people, they forget that not everybody knows the terms. Not everybody is familiar right off the bat with the tools. But at the same time, you have to find a balance. You know, there's a big difference between a beginner book and an intermediate book or a pro-level book. A huge difference between all of them.
Yeah, we've had different schools of thought on this question, which is what makes it a little controversial. We've had people say, no, it should absolutely not be a book because, you know, people need to, you know, figure this out, you know, by just going to the tutorials online. We've had people be like, there should absolutely be a book. Who has time to look for the tutorials online?
Yeah, exactly.
We've had some people...
Yeah. why shouldn't there be a book? Why should you spend all that time combing through threads, looking for tutorials? And then even then you have to comb through different tutorials because, again, everybody makes different grade level, different quality tutorials. You know, some people make tutorials just for beginners. Some make them knowing, expecting you to know a lot of stuff beforehand. So why should you have to wade through that when you can have this tangible thing on your shelf that you can pull out, set open, and look back and forth through without having to click around and scroll?
That is a good point. It would be an invaluable tool, especially if it was one, like maybe a book that showed like the basics for like someone who's just getting started.
Yeah, absolutely. I always love the feel of a book, and I love that, for one, it's not shining light into my retinas for hours on end. You know, my eyes are slowly dying.
I hear you, although in my case, it's my reading vision that's slowly dying, my near vision. My distance vision is growing ever sharper. I'll be a sniper in no time.
Oh, for me, it's all going downhill. Every last bit of it. I'm 30, but it's getting worse and worse steadily. I don't drive at night anymore.
Well, do you have like a dream art project that you'd like to work on that you have in your mind, but you put on a shelf because you just haven't had the time to do it, or there's still something you need to figure out how to do on it?
You're asking what that project would be?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Keeping with theme pony-wise, that would be to customize the pony project pony I have, that big, I think it's like, what, 13 inches or something? The large blank pony.
Yeah.
I scored one of those, and that would be my end all to customize that thing. But much like the reason that keeps me from getting a tattoo is I cannot decide on a final design. You know, something I would like to see that pony made into for the rest of its little vinyl life. I can't decide on what that design would ever be.
Go ahead. Well, I was about to say, because you're really not going to get another chance to find another one of those big ones, so...
Yeah, not without $300 to $500, no.
Yeah.
And the one I got, I somehow managed to get it a good steal. I will not mention how much I paid because my husband would still kill me, but it's, you know, certainly not the price I just listed. But part of me also almost likes the blankness of it and may never touch it because I do like to just turn around and just see that thing sitting there. Completely fresh, new, virginal, untouched, unaltered. Still in its plastic wrap, too.
Oh, cool.
That's true. There is something rather inspiring just to have, like, one blank sort of canvas.
Yeah. I can turn around and envision whatever I want on it, and I can change it a million times over. But once I put clay to it, that's it. It is cemented forever as that one particular thing. It can no longer be anything else unless I destroy it and rebuild it, which I ain't got the time for.
So you'll probably just leave it as Schrodinger's cat?
As what?
It'd be Schrodinger's pony, where it's in two states of being at the same time?
Likely, unless... If I were to get a second one, then I would certainly customize one of them and leave the other as some, you know, Olympic statue.
Yes.
But outside of pony-wise, my dream projects would be to actually get over my artistic fears and put brush to canvas and create any of the many paintings I've been planning for years, but have been just too fearful of my own skill level to attempt.
Oh no.
Pony Baby thinks you should try. It makes her sad that you're so fearful.
And you know, it's been a particularly, actually in the last couple nights, I've had a very nasty conflict going on where every once in a while, everyone of any kind of artistic ilk or creative wanting will go through a little depression. And I recently had one, been going through one myself, where I'm questioning, is it worth it whatsoever? You know, if I can't make money or a living off my work, the only other thing to do would be to become known, to become a name. But at the same time, you know, if you have to do that, you've kind of got to pander to the masses, and that can get boring rather quickly. So, you know, what do you do? What does art become for someone who is stuck, who doesn't know if it's at all worth it anymore?
Well, just remind yourself that Van Gogh in his lifetime was vastly underappreciated.
Yeah, he
and
only sold one painting.
Yeah, went through the same things, and he is now one of the most well-known, most sought-after artists.
Mm-hmm.
People look to his work for inspiration for any number of things, not to mention everything that's been reproduced on T-shirts and mugs and watercolor, you know, paint-by-numbers and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I think that you just do it because you want to get this idea out and just come what may, just do it for you.
Oh, believe me, that's an active thought as well. You know, one of the descriptions of an artist is not necessarily someone who creates, but someone who is obsessed. If you're not sure whether to call yourself an artist or not, if you think of art all the time, you think of making art, but you're too afraid to sit down and create it, or you're not producing, the very fact that you're consumed by the very thought of it, that is enough to label you an artist in some cases. But yeah, believe me, now that I'm going through the depression, I'm going through the fears, once you know what your fault, what your problems are, once you identify them, then you can work on them. So I'm in the process of reevaluating what I value in my own work and how can I make it, how can I push it forward, how can I get over this hump of feeling that it's not worth producing or putting out. Because, you know, I'm either afraid that I don't have enough skill or I'm not getting it across the way I want. These are all things that I've been churning for quite a while, and I'm trying to redesign what it is for me to make my work, and you know what is my work and how can I make it more my work. You know, not necessarily how can I make something original. That there's nothing's original anymore. Nobody has an original thought. It's impossible because it's all been done before. So it's just a matter of how can you take what's been done before and just identify it as your own. And I'm in the process of how can I make my art, my work, say what I want to say with my limited funds, supplies, and capabilities.
Well, I wouldn't consider your capabilities.
Back into producing again.
I wouldn't call your capabilities limited. To me, they seem extensive, but.
Well, there's.
But that is just my humble.
Well, every artist thinks that their capabilities are limited because they know.
That's true.
Especially if they're a knowledgeable artist, they know that there's someone who's better. There's always someone better, or there's someone they're aspiring to that they just they can't quite get the knack of something of this or that. You know, in my case, I feel that my work is way too flat and too it's just not dimensional enough, and it's not carrying the what I want to communicate, and sometimes I don't even know what I want to communicate. But recently, I'm stuck in a comfort zone of unicorns, and I'm somewhat embarrassed by that because there is a stigma to unicorns, the unicorn lady. You know, now they just went through a revival, but an ironic revival. So now they're gonna be more of a joke now. Or they are more of a joke. You know, how many people post pictures on their DA account of unicorns farting rainbows and like, her, I'm hipster, her. You know, go choke on sand, would you? But
I mean, like, well, like, I have been the unicorn girl since 1983. No, 1982. When I was two, I saw the last unicorn. And I have been the unicorn girl ever since. Inescapably. I thought it would go away as I got older. Like,
yeah,
people would stop calling me that.
Yeah.
No, they still tell me that.
It did. It did go away for me for a hot moment, like maybe a day, and then it came right back stronger than ever. And like I said, I am slightly embarrassed by it because it does have this stigma. It's not taken seriously. But it's becoming this something to explore. I've been asking myself a lot, why do I love unicorns so much? Why will they not go away? Why do they make me infinitely happy to continually draw over and over, and I never get tired of them? Why is this something that just keeps coming back? What is the unicorn trying to say? What is it trying, go get your granola for this, but what is it trying to make me say? What does it need to have said that I have to keep drawing it over and over obsessively? Is it a muse? Is it a totem? What is it trying to get across into the physical world that it can't get on its own, so that it's using people like us who absolutely adore it? And the way I'm phrasing this makes it sound like I believe that they are absolutely real. And I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying I don't. It doesn't matter if they're real or not. What matters is that this is now something that I can ride the inertia of into making more work.
Well, I don't know. As a unicorn lady myself, I have to say that, I mean, I just think, like, every person out there has a subject of some kind that calls to them. You know,
we've
all met the people who identify with wolves and who think of themselves as the lone wolf. And there's a sort of stigma to that, too, because, I mean, there...
Three wolf move, what?
I mean, you walk down the street and you can identify them from, like, a distance because they carry themselves a certain way and they have certain... you know, accessories with them, and they like to think of themselves as, you know, the loner, the wanderer to a certain degree. There's that stigma with it, even if that's not actually how they view themselves at all. That's how they're painted. That's the stigma that comes with the I like wolves thing.
Yeah.
And there's people who are into dragons, and people assume that they must be, like, you know, dungeon masters and, you know, role players. That's, you know, Lord of the Rings nerds, and thing that you can be interested in has a stigma because we live in the age of communication. So anything remotely insulting or humorous, particularly if lowbrow, gets around like wildfire.
Flank, flank.
Make the baby a bottle.
She's still a baby.
Ha, 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 ha. Husband pony, ladies and gentlemen. So I wouldn't worry about the stigma that comes with being the unicorn lady. There's always going to be, no matter what you're interested in, there's always going to be someone that makes fun of it, that doesn't understand it. I have had people who get, like, blind-faced drunk every night make fun of me for doing custom ponies because it's okay to get blind-faced drunk as an adult in their mind, but it is mm-hmm. not okay to sit down at your desk and get out paints and sculpting material and sculpt a unicorn because unicorns are for babies. You know, in my opinion, right. It's better to sit down and make a unicorn than to get blind-faced drunk and, you know, smash your car into the telephone pole. But that's just, I mean, I've literally had coworkers, like, on their off time, grill me about how dare I do custom pony work.
Really? Now, I've not experienced that, thankfully, well, mainly because my last job, I was surrounded by other artists, and they thought it was just cool beans, as it were, as one
said.
Well,
I mean, I did have a few people that thought it was interesting, but there were also people, you know, at that workplace that were literally going, why can't you just be like a normal person and go to a bar and get drunk? What's wrong with you? Oh, I don't know. I decided that somewhere along the line that making an ass of myself being drunk didn't sound appealing.
I would have asked them, what's wrong in your life that you find going to a bar and getting drunk normal?
Yeah, so, yeah. I now embrace the stigma. Anytime anybody tries to insinuate that I'm being ridiculous because I'm into something that isn't real, I demand that they prove that there have never been unicorns. And when they fail to do so, I just shake my head and walk away. Because you can't prove a negative, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, believe me, I know that my being fearful of the stigma is completely, it's not, it shouldn't be given any time of day, but it is something I am stuck on, also because I don't want it to, I need to figure out why I have this obsession so that I can get past it and not have every piece I do be about a unicorn. But until I can figure out what this obsession is, I just have to keep trying at it. And then, until I figure it out, and then I can move on to other topics, other subjects, and grow even further. It's mainly about learning about myself.
Well, then I say go for it, and I look forward to seeing your unicorn work. It has always brought me joy so far.
Thank you.
Well, Summer, do you have any questions or anything that you'd like to pose?
Oh, okay. You had mentioned something about how you had streamlined a lot of your customizing process just to make up for the little bit of time that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to streamline a lot of your work? And, like, do you have, like, a specific place that you organize your tools?
I'm sorry, was that last line?
Your stuff. or do you have a specific place that you organize your tools and a lot of your stuff before you start working on anything, whether it's a custom pony or one of your other art projects?
I do have my own office within my home, so that there is a space that once I cross the threshold of that door, I'm in work mode because that's where I work. I don't step foot in that office unless I'm going to work, and once I'm there, I work. Sure, I'll take a couple minutes here or there to look at something else on the internet to just, you know, mess around, because sometimes you just need to look at something else for a split second, let your eyes rest or mull over a problem. But, yeah, I have my office, and when I'm ready to go, that's where I go to work. So I'm already in the frame of mind as soon as I walk in. But really the only way you can streamline a process is to learn about it. The main problems people run into that eat up your time is just figuring out how to do something. Like working on a computer, especially working in Photoshop or Illustrator, 60% of the time spent on those programs is simply time spent trying to figure out how to make the program do what you want. And then the rest of the time, you're actually progressively working. Every custom that came before the current one, I learned something that made it easier to do the next time. You know, like now with clothing, I know how to. I can drape it so much faster than I used to. I know how to work with progressively thinner and thinner sheets because I know how the clay reacts. I know how it reacts to the temperature in the room. I know how it reacts to the temperature of my hands. And I know how it will react given certain pinches and certain ways I lay it as I'm draping a gown. All that knowledge and internalizing it has helped made me faster at it. You know, I don't waste as much clay as I used to.
Well, that's awesome, and you know, it must be really nice to have, like, a space where, like, you enter it, and you're like, I have gone to work, and the people in your household know that when you are there, you have gone to work.
It's absolutely integral. You have to have a space that will switch over your mind. Just like your bedroom is where you sleep, so you know that once when the sun goes down and you go in there and you lay down in bed, you know you're going right to sleep because that is the spot you sleep in. Just like you know the kitchen is where you're going to make your food. My office is where I'm going to work.
Well, I will put that down on my, let's try to get in the next place. I had an office. Now it's a nursery.
Yeah, my husband lost his office just shortly after we moved here, like a couple weeks. He had his office all set up, and then we found out we were pregnant. His office was gone.
How did your husband take to being a dad for the first time? Was it an easy transition for him, or?
Oh, he, well, I'll just come out and say it. He wanted it more than I did. I've always been terrified of children and babies my entire life. I was the kind of person that I felt that if you handed me a baby, it was going to break in my arms. It was just going to shatter. I was absolutely terrified of him. Plus, I have, thanks to the screaming child in the grocery store or the screaming brat demanding a toy he clearly doesn't deserve, I loathe children when I'm out in the wild. So I that was the last thing I wanted. But I knew at the same time that if I didn't do it, I would grow into an old lady who would forever regret it. So really, it was more of an extremely selfish decision. when we decided to try for a child. And my husband, he's ready. He wants as many as my body can produce before I break. And, you know, it helps that I'm Hispanic, so maybe I can make a good number. I don't know. But, you know, now that I have him, I'm loving it. Nobody ever has ever said in my life of speaking to people with children, no one has ever said how hysterical babies are.
It's true. They make the funniest facial expressions and get a kick out of the weirdest thing.
They are the funniest little creatures. Like, we watch our little boy, and sometimes he's just acting such a spaz that we decide that it's time to look for his receipt that he has to be returned, because clearly he's broken. But, you know, it's way past the return policy date, and we don't know where the receipt is.
Yeah. I got mechanical breakdown coverage for mine.
Oh, good for you. That's smart.
I'm going to have to look into this coverage.
I need to figure out how to file a claim for my mechanical breakdown coverage.
And, hey, if you can get warranty on dogs from a pet shop, then why can't you get one on your kid?
Yeah. You can't tell it right now, but Pony Baby's actually hanging out with me right now.
Aw.
That's why she's all quiet and stuff.
No choice. She wins.
Oh,
I have this terrible fear that I'm going to let her turn into Angelica from Rugrats.
Yeah, I'm worried about Kai turning into a douche bro.
Well, I saw a great idea actually on, I don't know if you've ever seen the show The New Girl with Zooey Deschanel.
I know of the show. I might have seen an episode, but it's not something I tune into.
I watched the pilot episode because it's on Netflix now.
Okay.
And the house where she lived in, where she moved into, there's three guys and her, and they have a douchebag jar. Where anytime you say or do anything that makes you a douchebag, you have to put a dollar in the douchebag jar.
Oh, I see.
I think that idea.
Yeah, and I wish we would have had that when we had a roommate.
Huh.
Oh.
Our roommate was actually pretty good, but
that idea would have been useful for me a couple years ago, too.
Overall, the roommate wasn't that bad, but I can't really say the same for his choice of love interest. You can be a girl and be a douchebag.
Absolutely.
So, excluding, like, just, you know, lack of experience the first time you do something, what is the pony that's given you the most trouble in all the ponies you've tried to customize?
Give me a second. You know, while you might think it was the Black Dahlia trying to sculpt the innards, it's such a tight, awkward space, that was surprisingly easy. But the latest one, which I forgot to name in the thread, I've been calling her Twisted Red. It was a little Red Riding Hood pony I just finished. I almost refunded her price. Because I don't know what had changed. I don't know if I did poor planning or what have you, but I had such an incredibly difficult time painting her that I had to walk away for like I believe a solid week, if not a little more, because I was so frustrated with her. I'd made way too many tiny crevices to get around, and her body picked up way too much residue that had dried and needed to be scraped away, and I couldn't get the X-Acto blade in to certain areas. And I wasn't able to make an accessory I had planned for her because I'd forgotten about it during the start of building up her costume, so there was no room to place it on her, which I'm extremely glad that Princess of Darkness said nothing about. So she has certainly been the biggest headache. It was mainly trying to get in all the teeny tiny crevices. I think I ruined two brushes just, you know, loading it up with paint and cramming it up into the tail trying to get the back of every curl. Because I do subscribe to one rule of thought that I believe she said it in one of her threads. She was talking about airbrushing, and she said that if you can see it, you can paint it. And I fully agree to that. If you can see it, you can get a brush in there, you can spray it, you can paint it. Maybe not easily, but you can do it. And it wasn't easy.
Yeah, the only time I ever really get frustrated with painting is when I seem to be working with a primary color. Don't ask me what it is about the primary colors, but I despise them.
Now, how do you mean?
It seems like
red, yellow, and blue that never want to cover anything?
Yeah, it takes way more coats of a primary color, red, yellow, blue.
I see what you're saying.
Than, like, a green or orange or purple.
Now, you might want to use acrylics, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
And, like, what, craft brand acrylics in the little one-ounce bottles?
I was using AA acrylics, but I've decided I don't like them. So, generally, I use folk art, but I'm slowly switching over to the acrylics that you use for painting, like the little role-playing figures.
I've not used any, like for what, painting Warhammers and stuff? Because I thought the majority of those paints were enamel-based, like testers. I assumed. I've never painted any of those little figures.
No, it's all acrylic, although I have used testers. I made a really neat one out of testers because testers doesn't act the way acrylic does because it's enamel-based, so I was able to really awesome effects.
Yeah, but you'll get a crazy headache, too.
Oh, well, yeah, but after you get used to those brain cells not being there anymore, you don't really miss them.
Yeah, my vocabulary has gone so far into the dumps. I'm not worried about it anymore. I'll inhale any toxin at this point.
Yep,
but,
I had an art teacher who once said, if this is how smart I am now, imagine how smart I could have been before I locked myself in a room with a bunch of paint.
And that is the God-honest truth. But as far as the acrylics, I use such a random array of acrylics because it's, to be honest, it's whatever's on sale. I'm so dirt poor. Whatever's on sale, that's what I get. But generally, if you check your bottles, check your tubes, I think even, you know, even the artisan acrylics, there are two types of manufacturing process, one for glazing tones, glazing colors, and then your opaque cover colors. Generally, if you have a yellow that is not covering, no matter how many layers you're putting on, you can still see straight through. Check it and make sure it's not a glazing formula. Generally, this is identified by means of a tiny symbol, a triangle, a circle, a square, something. If it is a solid black symbol, I believe, then it is an opaque color. It has a higher chroma count or pigment count or the dust used to make the color. It has a higher count, so it's thicker, it's more opaque. If it is half white, half black, then it can go either way. You can thin it out and use it for a great glaze, or you can take a few more layers and it can become opaque. If it is all white or an empty symbol, then it is a glazing medium, or not medium, but formula, where it's extremely thin, it has a low pigment content, and it is meant for glazing techniques. So you want it to be transparent, because that's what glazing is. It's a transparent color layered over one another. So that might
gotcha.
Be one thing you want to check.
I will check that from now, because I did not know that.
Yes, exactly. Once I found that out, first I raged, and then it made my life a little easier.
Yeah, I went to public school, and they were dirt poor also, so we just got, like, the cheapest, like, craft acrylics that the school could find. I have no idea what they...
I think we got the little tempera cakes that wouldn't water down for the life of you.
Yeah, the
little
blocks
of paint that you... Go ahead.
Well, no, all I can remember is that they came in these big jars, and you had about 5 minutes of working time before they turned into like a layer of plastic that you could never remove.
Ooh.
They were so goopy.
Yeah, I don't think we even got that. We had the hard little cakes that wouldn't activate even if you soaked it overnight in water. They were awful.
I think we had the same things at my at one of the public schools that I went to. They were more useful if you just picked the little paint cake up and scribbled with it like a piece of chalk.
Yeah, you're right.
Now I want to get one of those little cakes and see if I can cut it and sharpen it and see if I can use it like a piece of chalk.
Probably could, really.
Yep, yeah, so I didn't know that. I will check my tubes and bottles and such.
Hmm. And sometimes it'll even say, it'll sometimes right on the bottle even say transparent or opaque. Or semi-transparent, semi-opaque.
I will have to look and make an inventory. I've been meaning to redo my section of... I've squeezed what used to be my office into a little tiny corner. It's a mess right now. Well, what time is it? How much time do we have left? We have about 10 minutes of show left.
Yeah, come on! I did all my homework. You sent me those pre-questions. I did my homework. Hit me with something.
All right. What is the best piece of advice you've been given?
There is, I've got more than 10 minutes worth of comment on that. Best piece of advice, I've got three, I'll say. Number one, stop caring. The more you care, the more you're emotionally invested in a piece, the more you're going to try and make it perfect, and you're going to try and control every little aspect of it. And the more you control something, the more it's going to fight back. So everyone who's on the forums complaining, lamenting that they're having such a hard time with draping their clay to make clothing, don't control it at all. Stop caring about what happens. just let it happen. Let it do what it's going to do, and it'll likely turn out better because it'll turn into something you didn't expect. And number two, posture. Learn to work with a good posture, because I'm sitting here now telling you, as a 30-something-year-old person with arthritis in her spine, neck, and hands, force good posture on yourself. Because in just 30 years, I hunched over a desk drawing GD unicorns all day. I have messed up my back irreversibly because I was hunched over all the time. Two of my vertebrae have fused together, so I'm not as flexible as I could be, and I have almost constant pain, or sciatic pain if my discs become compressed. And my neck is on its way to doing the same thing because I'm constantly sitting with my head forward, staring at my screen. And my hands, my right hand, don't grip your brushes, pencils, and pens. Your knuckles will deteriorate. Someone should be able to walk by you at any time and easily remove whatever you're using straight out of your fingers. You'll save your joints. So practice good posture. And number three, and this might be a little controversial, copy. Copy, 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 copy everything. Trace the S out of it if you have to. Copy like a mad person. Now, the difference between copying and stealing, or copying to learn, or copying to steal and be a general jerk, is the person that copies something and completely says it's theirs and have not added something to it, brought something to the table, elaborated on it, or changed it, that's the person that stole. But the person that takes something and turns it into their own piece, uses it in a way that it isn't presented as, that it isn't presently viewed as, that's someone who used it, who uses inspiration, reference is what we like to call it if we don't want to call ourselves all-out copiers, but we're copiers. I started to draw the human figure by copying comic books, and I learned a lot. I internalized a lot. I copied a couple figures here and there, and later I could turn to a fresh sheet of paper and I could draw a lot better than I had before because it had internalized. It had turned into muscle memory and hand-eye memory. I could translate what was in my head onto the paper because I had already drawn it before thanks to copying it. So just make sure that you turn it into something else.
That's true. I do have a custom pony that I bought. It's made by Lunarock, and it belonged to someone else who had to sell it. And it's this great piece with this fantastic clothing. And I've used it as a reference for doing an entirely different piece with an entirely different style of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it gave me a general idea of how the clay needed to sit on the pony.
Exactly. You took what you saw and you used it. I used to be really protective. Just within the last couple of years has this attitude changed, but I used to be extremely protective, and I hated when I saw someone attempting to copy me, and I would sit there in just fuming silence. But now I would prefer it. Please, copy. I'm not saying that, you know, copy is the best form what's the word? See, my vocabulary
flattery?
Is trash. Yes, copy is the best form of flattery. No, whatever. Throw that out the window. That's stupid. No, just copy me because I want you to learn from me. In fact, you know what? Ask me a question. Anybody can come ask me anything, and I will try my best if I got the time to help you. I'm coming around to someone who, I don't want to be the secretive artist. I don't want to be the hoarder of my techniques. I want to help people learn something because the more you can explain something, it just reinforces how good you know it yourself. And you'll learn something, too. If you can teach someone something, then you know what you're teaching all the more, and you'll learn a little more about it.
That is a really wonderful perspective. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. That is a very good piece of advice.
In fact, eventually in the coming months, I intend to start a blog in which I will have that very theory and format. That'll be kind of what I do, where I will explain what I did and what I learned upon each piece, and I want people to learn as I'm learning. So, you know, once I announce it, I'd like for a lot of people to come on board and learn with me. You can teach me something, too.
Awesome. Yeah, when you get that started, send us a link and send me a link, and I will follow your blog and add where I can.
Sure thing. Maybe, hey, if you guys ever do update stories, too.
That's true. We have had a few people as returning customizers.
I'm always open to it.
Awesome. And it is just a few days till Halloween. So just a random question for the month of October.
Sure.
What is your favorite pony villain?
Pony villain, as in Fim?
Any generation of villain.
Well,
whether
unfortunately,
it be from the newest ones.
Unfortunately, it's going to have to be Fim because I don't quite remember the old ones. Oh, no, wait. I remember I had a girl crush on that. On the first generation TV show, I want to say her name was Katarina, but that just could be a phantom memory of a generic cat girl name.
No, that is Katarina.
Okay, yeah, I thought her design was the coolest S ever because I'd never seen anything like it at the time, and I rented that tape so many times I could have bought it because I just wanted to see that character's design over and over and over. Plus, it was a pretty banging song she sang. So I would have to say her.
Awesome. Yeah, I really like her, too, and not just because she's voiced by Tammy Grimes. I thought she was a really interesting character.
Yes, she was awesome.
Well, we have about a minute left of the show, maybe a minute and a half.
Well, let me see. Let me say one more thing to aspiring artistics.
Okay.
Don't ever think that there's an easy way to do something. You do have to take the long, arduous way. You have to start with your basics. If you're learning to draw, learn your foundations. Copying does help. Try it. You'll be astonished. But you have to learn your foundation principles, and once you've learned them, you have to relearn them. They never stop. If you stop drawing for a month and you return to it, you're going to be rusty and you're going to suck. Your hand is going to be stiff and it's not going to come out right. You have to keep drawing, you have to keep scribbling and sketching, and you have to keep learning your anatomy, your proportions, your colors. I just recently broke out of the bright colors palette. I always use nothing but brights. Now I'm learning that truly bright colors don't exist, and everything is grayed down even a little bit. And even a little grayed down can still appear bright and colorful.
Gotcha. Well, that is some wonderful advice, and we would love to have you back on the show again. I'm going to play our quick goodbye here for our pony audience. If I can see my screen. There it is.
This is Kimono, and you have listened to Pony Talk. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and being with us today, and we hope to have you back again soon.
Sure thing. I hope to have a lot more accomplished by then. Give me a couple years. You think I'm playing?
Well, you know, sometimes that time goes by quicker than it sounds.
Oh, especially with a kid, my God.
So, yes, thank you so much for being on the show, and we look forward to having you on again, and you've given us so much good advice. And, of course, you can find me on following your page on DeviantArt.
Awesome. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I enjoyed it immensely.
And we enjoyed having you here.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, very much. I'm sorry I didn't have much to say, but I mostly just wanted to listen.
Hey, there's always a next go-around.
Yes. Yes, Summer, the next time you lead the interview and I will sit and quietly listen and absorb.
Okay.
At least I'll try. All right, so Pony Night Night?
Yep, good night, ladies.
Night, everybody.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.